text line.
Fire! Score!
Go Blackhawks!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, time to talk hockey. Time to talk Hawks.
Now in the slot, jacket zone. Here's DeBrincat with a shot. He scores! DeBrincat twisting and turning down the slot. He digs and shoots. He scores!
Oh-ho! It's time for Blackhawks Live.
Turn away, DeBrincat again. A shot. He scores! Overtime game winning goal for the Cats.
Chicago!
Here's Joe Brand with Chris Bowden. It's go time.
Plenty of Alex DeBrincat cuts because the Cat will be joining us on Blackhawks Live tonight. He's WGN TV's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. Welcome into Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. It was actually a pretty productive week for the Blackhawks. A devastating loss in Boston on Thursday, but the offense continues to fly pretty high. A big reason of that being Alex DeBrincat, but DeBrincat, Patrick Kane, and Dylan Strome, Chris, are putting together something that we have not seen this well all year long.
Yeah, what the team totaled 17 goals over the since we last talked here, over three games from Blackhawks Live last week. And let's see if they can keep it going here, although the competition steps up. You get the Bruins once again coming up at the United Center on Tuesday night, and then a few days off before you have a back-to-back weekend against a couple of division rivals up at Minnesota, whom the Hawks have struggled against so far this season, and then a Winnipeg team, which has really been, what, 500, a little bit under that since they made their coaching change. It's kind of fallen out of the playoff picture, so still some opportunity here to pick up some ground, pick up some points here if they possibly can, build on some of that momentum. And we are now just 1 week away from the trade deadline, and all has been quiet so far, but I would not expect that to be the case when we do talk a week from tonight here.
Yeah, neither would I. And I don't think that no moves being made yet since Kyle Davidson has been officially named as the general manager is really too anything to look at. It's like a trade deadline with any sport. Things, the momentum will pick up as you get closer and closer to that actual deadline. And there's no reason to believe that the Blackhawks won't be active once that day comes. We've talked about it all year long, the possible suspects that could be on the move, and it seems like every day the media is asking every player, Derek King, you know, what's the dressing room like, or is there that impending doom of somebody moving?
Are the eggshells loud?
Yeah. Well, and Jake McCabe even said today that he's kind of used to this situation. The past couple of teams he's been on have been teams that have been out of the playoff race. So it's just something he's used to. And, you're going to see a guy like him probably be one of those older guys that these younger defensemen will be looking up to. It's going to be interesting to see how these roles change as these next couple of weeks, or I should say the rest of the season after the trade deadline comes and passes.
And obviously the biggest name on that list, and we've talked for the last couple of weeks about it, really no change with Marc-Andre Fleury. He'll be the big fish in the pond as far as other teams, what they're checking the Blackhawks out on. And yes, there certainly remain some candidates out there. But the question also remains whether Mark wants to make a move from the Blackhawks to Team X or not, and how close are they to contending, and what that price tag is in return. There's a lot of variables in play here, and we mentioned, I think, his agent last week, Alan Walsh, who's kind of a unique bird, shall we say, but he definitely puts himself out there. But he has said now twice in the last week, things have been very fluid. The conversation has been great between himself and Kyle Davidson, between Marc-Andre Fleury and himself and Kyle Davidson, keeping the lines of communication very open. And for one of those agents who's out there and who has like a weekly podcast or something like that, and has been known to say or tweet a controversial thing or two, it's nice to know whether Blackhawk fans like it or not. We don't know who's interested and what those interested parties might be willing to give up. And we also don't know whether it's just 10 teams or whether Marc-Andre Fleury has pared that down even more here as we move on. So, he's going to be the big fish in the pond, and he'll be kind of the headline story coming up. There was an interesting trade today with Colorado picking up another big defenseman in Josh Manson from Anaheim. So the wheels start turning. It's been fairly quiet so far.
It has.
And so it'll be an interesting week coming up here. And, you know, when we get down to Monday morning when there's national hockey shows strictly focusing on trade deadline activity, some years it's a whirlwind. Other years it's kind of a dud. So it remains to be seen what we'll be seeing here this year.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be one of those days where you just sit in the studio and watch NHL Network all day, though, just to try to map out all the moves. In terms of the current Blackhawks, again, we talk about that top line. Alex DeBrincat, Dylan Strome, and Patrick Kane really doing some phenomenal things. 22 points in those last three games as we saw the Blackhawks beat the Anaheim Ducks, lose a heartbreaker to Boston, and then have a pretty resilient game against the Ottawa Senators. I was saying on the postgame show, regardless of who they did it against, that was an impressive win for the Hawks after being down two players and two goals after 20 minutes. They're able to claw their way back and win that game pretty convincingly. But the momentum that this top line has had has really been impressive. We've seen Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat click. We've seen Alex DeBrincat and Dylan Strome click, and we've seen Dylan Strome and Patrick Kane click as well. But the way that this trio is just all firing on all cylinders right now is really fun to watch. And Alex DeBrincat's going to be our guest later on. We're going to talk to him about that. We're going to talk to him about what he thinks this organization needs moving forward. And we're going to talk to him about the little bit of the conversation he had with Patrick Kane against Ottawa on Saturday. A little bit of a heated talk. But in my eyes, I think that's good for a guy like Alex DeBrincat, and that's good for a team like this, that Patrick Kane, that a guy like Alex DeBrincat feels comfortable enough to have that type of response, that type of emotion towards Patrick Kane. I think that's good.
Well, yeah, and it's a rarity not to see those two guys in sync because, you know, they're like frickin' frack out there, especially when power play time comes along. And despite the amazing capacity, like Steven Stamkos has that one spot in the left-hand circle and he's been killing it for years and nobody can do anything about it.
Right.
And same with Alex Ovechkin. It appears Alex DeBrincat, that's his house too. And no matter how teams try to defend it, you know, some may have a little bit more success from others, but finding consistent success, even though you know that's coming on a Blackhawks power play or even on a 5-on-5 action, it's really interesting. But yeah, I don't see any harm in that. You know, what are we, 60 games into the season, just about? And as well as they work together, it doesn't mean it's going to be harmonious for all 82 games during the course of a year, especially when you're sitting there 9 games under .500 and everyone's had their share of frustrations. Yes, the individual production for both of those guys has been fantastic. They work well together, but part of the reason is because they work well together is when one sees the other make a mistake or thinks the other makes a mistake, it's like, what are you doing? So I imagine it's kind of a situation like that, but Alex will explain that a little bit later on.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about what's working with Patrick Kane right now and a few other things, too. Before we get to a break, as always, we've got a Boyke's prize pack to give away. Our trivia question this week, 312-981-7200. If you can tell us, what is Patrick Kane's new game high for points in a game? There's a hint. He did it this week. First time in his career that he's reached this many points in one game. 312-981-7200. Our friends over at Boyke's are going to hook you up. BOIKEYS.com. Use the promo code WGN Radio, but also use the promo code Joe Puck. And tell me what it gets you, because I'm not too quite sure. But again, 312-981-7200. If you can tell us, what is Patrick Kane's new game high for points? Rather, career high for points in a game. We've got some calls coming in already. We'll hopefully have a winner after this break. Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN.
DeBrincat's got it. Fed it across to the slot to Kane. Shoots, he scores! What a play! Patrick Kane caught that pass in his right skate, kicked it to his stick, and in his next motion fired it right along the ice through the 5-hole on Gibson. It's 3-0 Hawks.
That's our own John Weideman on a Patrick Kane goal earlier last week, I should say. Jason Ross Jr. was filling in for John Weideman over the weekend. We had Nick Olczyk filling in for Troy Murray over the weekend as well. And John and Troy back at it from the United Center tomorrow as the Blackhawks host the Boston Bruins. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. Our Boyke's prize pack giveaway question this week is, what is the new career high for points in a game for Patrick Kane? We've got Howard from Glendale Heights who has the answer. Howard, how many points did Patrick Kane have against the Anaheim Ducks this past week?
Six.
That's it. We got a winner. Congratulations, yeah. Howard.
Awesome. That's great.
Were you at the game? Were you just watching it?
No, I listen on the radio.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Yeah, we're right, talking. Exactly. It's check way better.
Not only is the Boyke's, but the check is in the mail, too.
So. Awesome. Yeah, right. I'll write that off on my taxes.
Yeah. You're preaching to the choir, Howard.
No kidding.
Congratulations. Enjoy the Boyke's.
All right, go Hawks and go Troy Murray. Beat that cancer.
I love it.
Thanks, Howard.
Howard in Glendale Heights winning a Boyke's prize pack. Again, Boyke's.com, Boyke's.com. It's not beef jerky. It's like it, but it's better. It's healthier for you. It's much softer, easier to chew, and it's gluten-free. Again, Boyke's.com. Something we were remiss to bring up in the opening segment, Connor Murphy getting a hard hit from Parker Kelly on Saturday against the Ottawa Senators. And we talked about the Blackhawks losing two players after the first period. Connor Murphy, one of them, Tyler Johnson, the other. Both of them in concussion protocol, both of them for different circumstances. Johnson getting hit in the ear with a puck from Dominic Kubalik towards the end of that first period. But scary sight for Connor Murphy. The good news is, He stayed with the team throughout the game. He flew home with the team, and he and Tyler Johnson, after both flying home with the team, were at practice today. They weren't on the ice for practice, but they were at Fifth Third Arena.
Yeah, certainly encouraging signs there. And when Connor first went down, just that initial vision that you saw of him that were that scariest of all in these types of situations. And, you know, we saw it with Jujhar Khera just absolutely frozen with his arms above the surface of the ice when he suffered a concussion. And then Connor Murphy looking extremely uncomfortable, having an inability to, you know, do it, you know, function the way professional athletes, not to mention the rest of us, would normally function in that situation. You knew it was bad, but thankfully it quickly turned just the way everyone was waving, you know, Doc out onto the ice and all the trainers onto the ice. It kind of added to the fright of it all. But once, you know, we saw his legs moving there shortly thereafter, which was encouraging. He gave the thumbs up. And I was really surprised to hear that he wasn't even taken to the hospital for precaution. So, you know, a quick recovery for Connor, who's as nice a guy and as tough as a guy as they come, and hopefully he'll be back on the ice here soon.
Mackenzie,
and Tyler Johnson, too, for what all he's been through, too.
I know. That's frustrating, too. But Saturday night, Mackenzie Entwistle was saying that Connor Murphy going down turned into a rallying cry for the team.
That game we came out in the second, you know, that was kind of our little speech in between periods was, let's win this one for Murph. So it was nice to get a win.
So some interesting or at least encouraging words from Mackenzie Entwistle there. And I want to bring up the fight by Jonathan Toews because, listen, this is a guy that just came off of concussion protocol. You could talk about that. You could really wonder if that's the right thing to do in that situation. I think the benefit of the doubt for Jonathan Toews is he's pretty aware of how he's doing, what he's able to endure, what he's not able to endure. And it was such a shutdown moment when Murphy went down. Ottawa goes on a shorthanded penalty, obviously the five-minute major for 5 minutes, and they end up scoring. Earlier today, Jake McCabe was saying that he wasn't even too surprised about that because of just how somber the team was. And, you know, I kind of brought up the question because you see this. You see fights happen after hard hits, whether they're fair or not, and it seems like everyone was pretty okay with the hits by Parker Kelly. He even went ahead and apologized to Connor Murphy. But Jonathan Toews getting in a fight after a hard hit on Kirby Dach, it's not even so much to reset the game, but I kind of think of it more as, okay, we're no longer, our emotions aren't in this somber, saddened aspect anymore. We're now moving on to the competition and to refocus on the game, and let's get the adrenaline going again. And it's not even a hard-nosed hockey mentality type thing. It's just kind of to reset the emotions, and that really worked for the team. Jonathan Toews especially, with two goals, his first multi-goal game in a couple of years. But that was a really, really solid turnaround for that team, which we often don't see, especially in the second period.
Yeah, I'm not a crazy fan of it based on everything the captain has been through, but stick taps to him for putting himself out there and on the line again, since, you know, he's just recently coming back from something once again. I was just double checking to see the lineup on who else, not necessarily who else was on the ice at the same time, because Hagel's the other wing on that line with Johnny, right?
Yes, on that second line with Tyler Johnson.
Yeah. Toews is centering. Doc, is it Hagel on the other side? I've been paying attention now, to the last combination.
Yes, now you were. Now yes.
I was,
now
I was
you
thinking
were.
Who else might have been on the ice to undertake that?
Well, and they also dressed 11 forward and 7 defensemen in that game.
So, do you wait? Have somebody else try to line him up for later in the game, or I'm sure the captain just felt there was a certain sense of urgency the way things were going to try to turn this thing around, because I'm looking up and down the lineup with who else is available. Honestly, you know, Connor Murphy would do it, but he was already gone in terms of types of players. Yeah, Alex DeBrincat isn't afraid to drop him at any time. I'll say that. Outside of that, Hagel's the same way. And about the only other two players in the lineup who, you know, would normally go that and come to someone else's defense, whether they're out on the ice at the time or not, are Mackenzie Entwistle and Riley Stillman. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have a finite number of guys who, you know, would go out there and put themselves out there in that situation to, quote unquote, extract revenge. But Jonathan, for what it's worth, and whether you like it or not, thought the time was immediate and he needed to do something right away in order to address the situation. Because, quite honestly, Ottawa came out and they were slamming the Hawks around for a while, and, you know, and that the Connor Murphy example was front and center on that.
Here is Jake McCabe's reaction, or rather the team's reaction, after Jonathan Toews' fight.
Yeah, it helps. You know, helps. I think reset for sure. That five minute when you get the 5 minute major and they score a shorty, you could kind of sense it wasn't surprising in a way, at least for me on the bench. I didn't have to go out there in the power play, but I'm just sorting my thoughts, and Kirby gets hit and Toews responds right away with that, and definitely wakes us up a little bit. And more importantly, though, I think is two goals too, you know, getting us right back in the game. He had a huge night for us.
And then Jake McCabe factoring in the offense as well. He had a multi-point game. It was just a really good day for the offense. How about Caleb Jones now with more goals than Seth Jones this year, 4-3? Find me somebody that could have predicted that.
I did not have that one in the odds as we sit here on mid-March. And that's another thing. And Seth has come out and talked about it. You know, he's going to be with this team for 9 years. So you want to see that production get back up to where it was 3 or 4 years ago. Now, he admits he's frustrated. He's getting his share of looks, but the puck's not going in the net. But at some point, you know, he's going to have to figure it out. And all these guys go through their share of ups and downs. But hopefully, you know, it's not a time on ice thing. The workload isn't affecting his effectiveness offensively, and he can get things going. That's, I think, another important thing to watch here towards the end of the year, whether he's going to be sitting there at the end of the year at 4, 5, 6 goals, or whether he gets himself going offensively. Because if the Blackhawks are going to be an effective, consistently effective power play, he's going to have to be the quarterback in that one for years to come.
He says it more than upsets him. I mean, it's definitely taken a toll on him, but I think he's in the right mindset to not let it affect him too much. And also, Hawks fans that are critical about him and his play, I just have to say, be patient. This is still the first year of this whole Seth Jones saga. He's doing a lot of great things defensively.
As long as Caleb is picking him up offensively, that's what's most
there
important.
We go. Alex DeBrincat joins us after the news as Steve Ruxton is standing by. You're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN.
To Patrick Kane, right faceoff dot. Over to DeBrincat, a one-timer. Turned away, DeBrincat again, and he scores! Overtime game-winning goal for the Cat! His 50th career power play goal! And the Blackhawks beat the Edmonton Oilers in overtime 4-3!
Welcome back to Blackhawks Live on WGN Radio. Thrilled to have our next guest in Alex DeBrincat here on Blackhawks Live. And Alex, I know things are going great offensively. I kind of wanted to talk about your defense, though. When you first came in, Joel Quenneville even said how your stick is just always active, always in the right spot. What is the premise of your defensive mentality, and how has it evolved over the years?
I think it's definitely gotten better over the years, for sure. But I think an active stick is something that it's not very hard to do, but it makes it hard on the offensive guys. So, you know, I think, like I've said, I've gotten better over the years and found my spots to be in and what works in the NHL. And, you know, I think it's all, you always can get better. So still trying to improve that. But, you know, try to take pride in my defensive game. And, you know, a lot of offense comes from that. So then you can have fun after that.
Well, you're having a lot of fun this year. Going back to first coming into the league, 28 goals, 41 goals, 18 goals. How were you able to bounce back from that? You know, what did you do differently the following summer, and how have you continued to do that progression since then?
Yeah, I mean, I think that year with 18, you know, a lot of posts, you know, a lot of things didn't go in that normally would. And, you know, I feel like that happens with everybody. Everyone goes in a slump at some point, but you know, I think it actually gave me time to think about more aspects of my game and try to get better in different spots. So you know, that next summer, obviously I worked on a lot of shooting and you know, working hard just in the gym and stuff, but you know, not too much did change, and I just got more lucky the next year. I think a lot of goal scorers go through droughts like that, and you know, sometimes it just goes in and sometimes it doesn't. So I think especially when you're going through a slump, it's hard not to get frustrated, but I think it's definitely more valuable if you try to think to other spots of your game that can really help the team out. And I think that year made me a way better player in the long run. And you know, I had to focus on other things rather than just scoring goals.
Everyone's different, but Kirby Dach in his third year having some offensive struggles, have you shared any of that wisdom with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of guys go through it, like I said. You know, I think a big part is to not listen to you know, the negative comments or whatever it may be. I think it's hard to stay away from it, but it's also, you know, tough on the mental health. So I think you just got to focus on yourself. And, you know, Kirby's obviously been a great player for us this year. It might not be going in for him too much, but you know, he does things on the other side of the puck for us, and he's been shutting down a lot of lines. He was a shutdown line there for a while, and you know, he's still playing really well this year. So I think you can take other things that maybe other people don't see, and you know, really feel good about yourself in those ways, and kind of move on from it, and hopefully you know, get hot here at the end of the season.
How difficult was it for you to avoid some of that negative criticism? I mean, Kirby's gone as far as deleting social media apps.
Yeah, I just kind of didn't pay attention to it too much. I think I didn't go that far to delete the social media, but, you know, I just wouldn't look at it. I would just, you know, pay attention to, you know, other things, maybe not focus on hockey too much. I think that was a season where, you know, you kind of realize, you know, there's more important things than hockey in your life. And, you know, when you go home, maybe you need to separate yourself from the game a little bit. But, you know, obviously when things are going good, it's easy to, you know, want to check your name out and stuff on Twitter and stuff. But, you know, I just don't think it's very helpful. You see a 100 good comments and one bad one, and you think about the bad one for the whole night. So you know, I kind of stay away from social media in that aspect. But you know, I think it's good to learn, and it's good to have that mental you know, toughness, and you know, just work through it.
Are you Googling your name a lot now with everything going so well?
No, I think same thing now. It's not worth looking it out. You got one guy that wants to chirp you, and it sticks in your mind. So it's been like that for a couple of years for me, where I've just stayed away from, you know, anything with me in it. And, you know, I just try to focus on, you know, the important things. I think what I can do better, you know, for the team and what I can do better for me as well. I think, you know, a lot of people might not know what's best for the team or myself. So, you know, you try to focus on those things.
A lot of good things going on for you and Patrick Kane, but especially right now. I mean, you guys have had that chemistry. You've had that success. But right now, things are really clicking. Is there anything you can pinpoint that's significantly better for Patrick Kane's game, whether it's with him alone or with you?
No, I think sometimes it just clicks, and sometimes, you know, you go through a tough streak. I think right now we're working hard to get pucks back, and, you know, our line's doing a good job of, you know, forcing turnovers and being able to tack off of that. So I think that's been our really good spot right now, and, you know, obviously Kaner's so skilled, so when he has the puck, you know, you just try to get open. So, you know, I think sometimes, like I said earlier, sometimes it goes in, sometimes it doesn't, and right now it's working, and we just got to keep working hard and not get too complacent. So I think that's an important part.
During Saturday's game, there was a conversation between you two. I won't call it heated, but it was emotional, and it seemed like you really just had the ability to be yourself and say what was on your mind. So what about the relationship with you and Patrick allows you to do that? Because it, you know, it'd be very easy for Patrick Kane to be a guy that doesn't take other opinions and other criticism. I mean, how does your guys' chemistry allow that to happen?
Yeah, I mean, on the ice, sometimes it's frustrating, you know, whether a guy doesn't make a play or, you know, you're just frustrated with your own game. And I think we all want to do the best we can, and especially Kaner, we're both very competitive, and we want to, you know, be the best player on the ice at all times. So, you know, sometimes it gets there, and, you know, I think it makes us better in the long run. I mean, we know what's on each other's mind, and, you know, I think it's something we can learn from and, you know, just move forward from.
You going to leave Mackenzie Entwistle alone anytime soon?
Nah, he's an easy guy for me to pick on. He's a big teddy bear. So, no, he's great. He's, you know, I think just got to pick on somebody. So he's the victim right now.
We're talking with Alex DeBrincat here on Blackhawks Live. Just a few more questions. This team is officially in a rebuild. You said you're excited for that journey, or you're looking forward to be a part of that journey. What do you think this Blackhawks team needs moving forward to make it a successful rebuild?
Yeah, that's tough for me to say. I think, you know, Kyle has some things in mind, and I think he's going to take us in the right direction. So, you know, I trust him. I'm pretty sure the team trusts him, and we can, you know, hopefully get better through getting younger. And, you know, I think we need to get that identity back in our game. We've gotten it back a little bit, you know, this second half of the year, but in the beginning, I think we didn't really know what type of team we were, and you know, we were trying to have it given to us, and in this league, it's never given to you. You got to work hard, and you know, I think maybe we were just missing a little bit of that at the beginning of the year, and you know, but I think we learned from that, and we can definitely get better from that.
After Saturday's win, Jonathan Toews had mentioned Derek King kind of put the pressure on you guys that morning, and it seemed to have worked. So what was the message, and how much did that play a role in Saturday's win?
Yeah, we had an off day the day before, so he said, don't make me regret giving you an off day. So, yeah, I think the first period, obviously, was tough seeing Murph go down, and maybe guys were a little bit shaken up from that. But I think we rebounded in the second period good. Taser came up with two big goals right there to start, and, you know, I think we moved on from them. So, you know, if we can always have that resilient attitude and, you know, never be out of a game, I think we'll be good.
What's the transition to becoming a dad been like?
Haven't done too much yet. Read probably half a book and done a couple classes, but, you know, I think we're excited for it to come, or for him to come, and, you know, really just enjoy the moment. I think it's, you know, such a precious thing, and, you know, we're excited to have him here and just have some fun with him.
What's some of the best advice you've gotten from any of your teammates about being a dad?
That's a good question. I don't know. We hear it's tough, that's for sure. But a lot of guys with multiple kids say, you know, one's easy, and then once you get to two and three, it's a little bit harder. So we're going to enjoy the one for now and, you know, see where that takes us.
Alex, thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Alex DeBrincat. We'll have more Blackhawks Live coming up next, 720 WGN.
Wrapping up Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN with Chris Bowden. Another big thanks to Alex DeBrincat for joining us.
Thanks
this
for letting
week.
Me get some questions in there, Joe. No.
Hey, I'm too worried about making sure I get out on time before the news and then pounding my chest over the airwaves because my microphone was still on. I'm normally not that pretentious, everybody.
Yeah, no. You know, he isn't. Take my word for it. But yeah, great interview with Alex there. And I know exactly why he may have been ticked off at Patrick because, you know, everyone else is continuing to score in that game against Ottawa. And Alex is finding himself having his five-game goal-scoring streak end, you know?
How so about
that? I
think
that's the reason why, even though he wouldn't admit it.
How about that? Like we said, an impressive win. It turned out to be a significant win over the Ottawa Senators. And yeah, Alex DeBrincat without a goal. But it was good to see the wealth spread a little bit. We talked about a Caleb Jones, his first multi-goal game of his career. He also tied his career high with 4 goals on the season. So quite a nice little pickup for the Blackhawks in acquiring Caleb Jones. Something we were talking about off-air right before, the Patrick Kane journey that now has him past Bobby Hull for number 2 all-time in points in Blackhawks history. I can't remember the math now. 311 points away from Stan Mikita, though, and Chris Bowden and I were talking about whether or not he will do it.
Well, congratulations to him, number 1 star of the week. Not about to be upstaged for long by Nick Schmaltz, his former teammate, so he gets number 1 star honors this week. Patrick, with a goal and 9 assists in the 3 games that the Blackhawks played this week, including the 6 against the Anaheim Duck. Ben Pope really broke this thing down in his Sun Times article today. We'll share a little bit with you, but we want to pump Ben's tires, who went into a really deep dive, because Patrick, in 56, the team has played 59. Patrick's only played 56. He already has a couple more points than he had in all 56 games a year ago, and
right.
He really dried out towards the end of last season. But Ben, to quote him in the Sun Times article, just to, you know, as we watch whether Patrick continues to evolve and be as productive, Ben wrote, since 93-94, when the NHL scoring rate stabilized around the modern day norm, 15 players have recorded 150 more points and averaged more than a point a game during their age 31, 32, and 33 seasons. Of course, Patrick is 33 right now. And of those 15, 6 of them are still active. Kane, 2 guys you'll see this week, and Brad Marchand and Blake Wheeler. Also, Malkin and Crosby from the Penguins, Ovechkin from the Capitals. The other 9, Ron Francis, Adam Oates, Jaromir Jagr, Daniel Alfredson, Joe Sakic, Brett Hull, Martin St. Louis, Alexander Mogilny, and Mark Recchi. Of all those guys, all but Mogilny remained productive for quite a few years beyond 33. So it'll be interesting to see if Patrick can keep up this pace. You know, every once in a while he goes through these stretches where you start scratching your head and wondering, all right, is he going to be able to keep this up? But he always rebounds. You know, as lines get tinkered around him, he always seems to find a way to remain productive. And here he is leading the Hawks in scoring once again.
To steal the response from Nick Olczyk, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? Patrick Kane has had a really good resume in terms of health throughout his hockey career. Just a couple of short stints, one in 2015 where he was sidelined for a little bit. You know, you look at it, averaging, I haven't read the full entirety of Ben Pope's article, and you know, he always does the hard work on that kind of stuff. But the quick math I did last weekend was, I believe Patrick Kane just needs to continue his average of, which is a lot, 76 points a season. He's got to do that for 4 more years.
Mm-hmm.
The 4 years part, I think, is no sweat.
Yeah,
I think he can do that and more. 76 points, who knows? But why not?
Can you find the right people around him like he seems to have, at least right now, too?
But he's such a playmaker, too. Yes, that's a huge part of it. And, okay, if you want to bring that up, then where's Alex DeBrincat going? Because I don't think anywhere. And for the topic of conversation, Brandon Hagel could be joining up there with him right. in the next coming years. So I say why not?
How did you like the daylight while it lasted?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's how we led the show last week, and we're getting our last closing moments of daylight. But
Trade deadline show next week, though.
That will be a fun one. Yeah, these next upcoming weeks, like I keep saying, there's going to be a lot of competitive hockey at the United Center, like tomorrow night against the Boston Bruins, 7:30 puck drop. Check out Blackhawks.com/tickets to head to the UC. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. Big thanks to Curtis Koch, Alex DeBrinket. For Chris Bowden, I'm Joe Brand. We'll talk to you next week on Blackhawks Live.